I'm sure most of you are far more computer literate than I am. How many of you have a blog of your own? Anyone? Okay. Well, I'm going to read you today just a short piece from God's blog. Now, I'm going to read this as the form of an apology. If my message doesn't hit home today, this will kind of explain it, okay? This is from God's blog. I want to talk about something that I watch all the time and get so frustrated with. It happens every Sunday. Multitudes of people go to what they call the church. This is actually another frustration that people call the place they attend the church. For most part, it just isn't. But when they get there, some of my most loyal kids, as well as some of the kids who don't have a clue about me, stand up in front of their audience as lay preachers and they talk. They talk about stuff and true stuff, but for the most part, it's stuff that means absolutely nothing to anyone that's listening. Now, I'm not talking here about those wild-eyed, stamping, yelling, self-glorifying bigots who get on TV and wear their $1,000 suits and make the rest of the world scoff at the folks who humbly represent me. That's another blog for another day. For this blog, I'm just referring to the boring folks who lead their people down the road of mediocrity, and a lot of them don't even use their regular voice. I made them, and I know how they're supposed to sound. They have a different tone and an attitude and mannerisms. It's like they're bad actors on a stage. I made them. I know what they're supposed to sound like. I wish they'd be more authentically who I made them to be, that they'd be real, and that the ones who aren't gifted to speak effectively and honestly enough to engage your audience would just sit down and let someone else who can do it preach to the people. It's embarrassing when churches and people and the media represent me so poorly so often. You didn't know that God could get embarrassed, did you? When my son was on earth, he said these words, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." If people are asleep and bored or tuned out in an audience on a Sunday, that isn't life abundant. I am joy, life, excitement, emotion, dance, laughter, relationship, love, and imagination and awe and wonder and drama. I am wild, wonderful, dangerous, big, hearty, disturbing, exhilarating, and my character and my truth set people free from boredom, sameness, emptiness, monotony, tedium, and confusion. I am weary of people not knowing that about me. I am sad watching people who are searching for an abundant life step into a boring building. I would rather those folks go to the lake where they might get a better taste of who I am. Now that I have ranted a little bit, which God has a right to do, another one of the perks, I will say it is good that people are changing and some of you are getting it and making things different. It is a delight to me. But for the rest of you, I'll paraphrase what a film director once said. Come on, people, I love you. But you got to work with me here. Amen.
I guess that's why I'm not going to have a blog. I don't have much to say there. The scripture is a collection of scriptures pointing us toward grace of God. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. John 13:2. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Romans 12:2. And be not confronted to this world, but ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 1 Corinthians 2:10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Matthew 13:11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Ephesians 1:9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath proposed in himself. Psalms 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lead not unto thine own understanding. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that, and ye receive them, and ye shall have them. The word of God for the people of God.
Inside, outside. I borrowed this title, as I do with most things I say. I thought for a while I borrowed it from Grantland Rice, who coined the phrase the Four Horsemen, but that was in 1924. So I asked my chief research assistant to look up who wrote Inside, Outside. And it was Tim Cohane for the New York World Telegraph, and he labeled the Coe Heisman winners from West Point of 1945, Glenn Davis and Doc Blanchard, Inside, Outside. I also borrowed it from Herman Wouk, who wrote a book titled Inside, Outside that describes a Jewish person in a low-level administrative appointment for Nixon during Watergate, and the difficulties this man had working or living inside as a Jew and working outside in Nixon's administration during Watergate. Inside, Outside is the theme of my message this morning, and the main concepts are from a small book titled Hung by the Tongue, written by Francis P. Martin. And I have subtitled my remarks the same as he did: what you say is what you get. I'm asking you this morning to work toward positive thoughts that lead to positive talk, that lead to positive action. You are what you say you are. Folks, I'm certain that none of you have the problems that I have with positive thought. I swear the same genes that I have that taught me that one drink is too many and 20 is not enough. Force out and cause tremendous mood swings that one has to work hard to overcome. And I work hard at that almost on a daily basis. But you want to know what? What gets me most frustrated and hardest to think positively is when some folks from the living room of their second home, the front seat of their new car, or even in a meeting of this great Christian family, try to tell me that the country's going to hell in a handbasket. Brothers and sisters, the good old days weren't. They were just different. A couple of weeks ago, I read an article from the newspaper that talked about folks losing their homes, folks losing their jobs, folks losing their business, folks losing their fortune. And although I read it a couple weeks ago, it was written in a newspaper in 1819. And this was the first time the country experienced a sharp downturn in the business cycle. All of history is a continuing cycle of peaks and valleys, peaks and valleys. Please join me this morning to hear something about positive thought that lead to positive talk, that lead to positive action. What you say is what you get. Let us pray. Good morning, Lord. It's that Christian family from Gila Mountain United Methodist Church checking in. We know and feel your presence in our lives and are so grateful that you are here with us today. Help us to take a deep breath. Forget about what's happening outside. Relieve our minds of the concept of that's not the way we do things here, and imagine a bright light shining on us and our future. For Lord, we know in your infinite wisdom you have blessed us in the past, that you're blessing us now, and that you will continue to bless us in the future. Amen. The words of your mouth begin with your thinking. And in order to control your mouth, you have to control your thinking. Right and wrong thinking is the basis for controlling your mind. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, he is so. The Bible means exactly what it says. This is a spiritual principle. These are God's principles, and they will control your life. God will prosper you as you submit yourself to his principles. Now, let me remind you that the root of what you say is what you're thinking, and the root of what you're thinking starts with thoughts, and there are three sources to all of our thoughts. Thoughts come from the five senses. Everything you know and have learned came through the eyes, the nose, the mouth, the ears, and touch. Thought can also come from the devil, Tommy. Satan can bombard your mind with thoughts. John 13:2, the devil put the thought of betrayal into Judas's mind. And as I look around here, most of us remember that famous television comedian that said, "The devil made me do it." Who was that? Flip Wilson. And God also puts thoughts into your heart and mind by his Holy Spirit. Thoughts from the senses deal with your mind. Thoughts from God deal with your spirit. The mind is a machine. It's like a computer. And you ask yourself, how can you tell what thoughts are good and what thoughts are bad? You must program that computer to the Word of God. The ideas flow through your spirit, God's direction and guidance, and are fed to your mind. That is what's happened since the day you were born. We have been programmed for particular circumstances, from the world we were brought up in. But in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world. Have your mind renewed by the Word of God. Folks, that's what we do when we get up in the morning and read the Bible. That's what we do when we go to Bible study. That's what we do when we come here to worship. We are reprogramming our mind. A very dear friend, an excellent minister, once said, "I'll be darned." Now, trying to reprogram your mind is like trying to unpickle a pickle. We need to get worldly minds tuned to the Word of God. As you get better at this, you will accept or reject thoughts according to what it knows about the Word of God. And I got to share a kind of personal experience here. A really good friend of mine promised the administration of the Scorpions that he would sell tickets. But he called me and said, I can't make it at the time they want me there. Could you go? Now, I've already told the people there, I don't do anything that takes me out of the ballpark, and I can't watch the ball game. But because this was a dear friend, I went in and sold tickets. And as I'm selling the tickets, I look over here in the corner, and there's a great big box of chocolate candy bars. Now, anyone that knows me knows how much I like chocolate. And I thought, you know, I don't want to be here. I'm not getting paid. I'm going to take a chocolate bar. Wham! Upside the head. That's how God communicates with me sometimes. And I knew that wasn't right. I didn't take the candy bar. How often have we been told that God works in strange and mysterious ways? That's not the way God works. That's not the way he worked with those candy bars. 1 Corinthians 2, God's Spirit is within us and reveals to us the things God has prepared for us. Matt 13:11, it has been given to you to know the mysteries of heaven. Ephesians 1:9, having known to us the mystery of his will. We need to learn to think like God thinks according to his word and not according to the way we were trained. Psalms 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Folks, it's so important for us to get into the habit of taking the word of God and use it as the base in which we operate our minds. Proverbs 3:5, lean not unto your own understanding. We must learn to trust God's way for our decision making. Instead of leaning on past experiences or other people's experiences, figure out for yourself how to create a secure foundation using God's word. How many times have we heard the pastor say, as long as you're working toward the kingdom of God? Now, I'm not sure how many of you have thought processes like I have, but I don't know how many times in the last couple of years I've gone in to talk to him and telling him there's something that has to stop. It's not right. We must stop it. And of course, it was my ego. It wasn't what was wrong. And Neil would always say, how does that fit in your working toward the kingdom of God? And I broadened that a little bit for my own personal life. Now, whenever I get the urge to blow off a whole ethnic group of people that live with us, whenever I get the urge to blow off my neighbor or blow off somebody in a committee meeting, I ask myself that question. How does that fit in to the development of the kingdom of God? When you are about to make a decision, ask yourself that. Do you have any idea how many times you won't say it or do it? Because the answer will come back, nothing. Many of you serve on committees and make decisions based on what used to be. Now, this church with Neil is much better than that, than the church at home. Neil always says, the 7 last words of any church is, we don't do it like that here. We don't do it like that here. Please, Lord, help us with our actions here and at all the churches we go to not do that. Please remember, folks, that victory and defeat began in the mind. You remember the old pep talks the coach gave you? He was planting the seeds of victory in your mind. He's using words and thoughts to condition your mind to win or take advantage of an opportunity. Folks, if we think and talk about defeat, that's what we're going to get. If we think and talk about victory, or our ability to take care of an opportunity, that's what we're going to get. God's word is victory. Start thinking God's word in all situations. Put correct thoughts in your mind. Get that thought to become an imagination, and that will burn into your mind and it will come out of your mouth as a positive expression. Exercise your will. Practice thinking positively. Promise yourself and pray that you can develop the habit of thinking positively. Positive thinking is in line with the Word of God. It's not mind over matter, but mouth over matter. Practice thought control. Philippians 4:8. To fix your thoughts on those that are true and honest, just and pure, lovely and good, virtuous and praiseworthy. A long list to go over before the thoughts are expressed, but eventually you will develop thought control and that will happen automatically. Eventually, when we are successful, we'll eliminate some of the fear of our thinking. Matthew 6. Do not have any anxieties. Do not have any stress. Do not allow it in your thinking. Now, that's not realistic, but if you work toward it, it gets easier. Dear God, let us pray to discover your will for our life. Folks, in order to think correctly, you need to know God's will for your life. This is where many of us are tripped up, for we do not know God's will for our life. If you do not know where you're going, how can you apply faith and correct words to direct your life? First of all, you got to find out what your target is. You got to point your action and point your faith toward goals which are nothing more than directional statements and objectives which identify activities that will take you to that objective. In 1967, I think it was, or maybe 68, I was a very ambitious middle-level administrator at Edmonds Community College. And that was right during the Pueblo incident. I don't remember how many of you remember that, but the president of that college was called into service. And a feisty dean of instruction became the president, and he really couldn't get along with the district office that ran Edmonds and Everett Community College. And he finally got fed up and left and opened Malaspino Community College in Canada. And the board hired a wishy-washy director of the Seattle Museum to be the president of the college, because they could control him. Now, he called all of us leaders into his office and said, "Where do you want to go? What are you going to do?" And of course, in those days, I was so sure of myself that I knew everything. I told him, "You know what? I'm going to be a college president. And I haven't decided yet whether it's here or somewhere else." That set him back a little bit. But my point is, focus on where you're headed. Now, I didn't focus on my faith journey until August 9th, 1987. But it focused and focused in spades at that time. In order to get started, you need to ask yourself, what am I aiming at? Toward what point am I directing my life? And do I know God's will for my life? If you do not know the answers to these questions, let me try to give them to you. First of all, God does not have to show your whole future in one swoop. And he probably won't. But he is willing to give you that next step he's willing and wants you to take. He nudges you. He pushes you on. Mark 11:24, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall receive them. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm living proof that this happens. I told you about this before, and I'm not going to bore you again with it, but on August 9th, 1987, my life changed forever. I found God. And at that time, I had everything I had ever worked for. I was president of a nice school. I had a nice house, a great family, and all important, a nice car that the college gave me. But I wasn't happy. I was playing way too hard and working not nearly hard enough after 15 years as president. And I gave it up. And I went back into the college classroom for 5 more years. And when that was looking, feeling pretty good, My mother-in-law fell down her stairs in Michigan and couldn't live alone and wouldn't live with us. So we sold out in Sholo, Arizona and moved back to Michigan. But it just keeps giving. On February 4th, 2000, I gave up a lifetime of hard drinking. Social drinking. You know what that is, right? You start at 11:30 and you do it the rest of the day to be sociable. And sometimes you even drink alone just to be sociable. After that, I became very active in two different churches. And I don't mind telling you, I spent 6 months here and 6 months in Michigan, and sometimes my wife will say, look into the rearview mirror, and there's people back there doing this. I'm not sure what they mean by that. Then one Saturday morning, the memorable Saturday morning, I was trying to service a big long line of people wanting pancakes. Very busy, hassled, and a former friend of mine asked me if I'd become the chairman of the finance committee. What? I did it. I think I did it because God wanted me to do it, and it's been very rewarding. And God is still directing my life one step at a time. Now we need to find out the next step for our lives so that we can speak it into existence. Folks, honest, it's like the energizing bunny. It just keeps giving. Remember, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Let us pray. As we leave this sanctuary, help us to remember that we are God's children. We have and feel his presence in our lives. Help us to reflect on what has been said this morning and begin to realize that Jesus died on the cross for us to be forgiven and have eternal life. Lord, with that gift, let us replace fear and anxiety with hope and joy as we move positively forward. Amen.